taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you are everyday Americans.
How far should you be allowed to go when you disagree with someone? Is it okay to boycott a business with a policy that you don't like? Is it okay to encourage others to join you? At what point does influence turn into intimidation? Today, I want to welcome lifelong student of liberty, limited government, and free market economics, Mike McCarthy, to the program to discuss his recent article called All It Takes is Five Monkeys and the Cancel Culture is Empowered. Michael, thank you for joining us here on the Constitution Study.
Oh, thank you for your pioneering work on promoting study of the Constitution, and I'm honored to be on your show.
Well, we're wonderful. We're honored to have you. So introduce yourself to my audience. Let them know a little bit about you and your lifelong journey as a student of limited government's liberty and the idea of free market economics.
Well, it goes back many moons ago, back to the Jurassic Age of the 70s. I was a young man out of college and signed up to be a teacher and crewman on board a private American school on board sailing schooner called Tavega. And they studied objectivism and Ayn Rand's novel, Atlas Shrugged. And I got introduced to the basics of free market economics. And I thought, wow, this is not rocket science. I'm not a statistician or an economist, but this is pretty easy stuff to understand. And the notion of how government swallows up and drowns out all private initiative through rules, regulations, and crony capitalism, where they want you to play ball with them. I started reading about that for the rest of my life and followed it. And so I tried to capture some of those ideas in a dystopian novel I did way back in 2011 called The Noah Option. And of course, that comes from the story of Noah in the Bible, where, of course, he had to build the ark to save himself, his family, and the animals from the floods. And so using that as a metaphor, the flood of government control, government corruption, government intimidation. In my novel, I talked about how a small band of, in my novel, they're actually called the Constitutional Resistance Movement, band together in small groups to try to resist this flood of government corruption. So I've been studying it ever since, and I've also got a background in behavioral psychology, where the techniques can be used for good things in therapy, but they can also be used for bad things in conditioning people.
So the title of your article caught my attention, you know, Five Monkeys. You know, my first thought was, what's the line they say, you know, an infinite number of monkeys and an infinite number of typewriters could come up with the works of Shakespeare, which to me is complete sophistry. But it included a video, and I'll put a link to the article in the description when this hits the website, so people can check out the video, which really describes this idea of how five monkeys can really change how people look at things. Can you describe that story just a little bit?
Okay, well, briefly, this was an actual experiment done, and these animal psychologists, they put five monkeys in a cage, and then they suspended a banana at the top of the cage and provided a ladder. Then every time a monkey tried to ascend the ladder to get the banana, they would spray the remaining monkeys with cold water. And so after a number of iterations of this, each time any of the monkeys try to ascend the ladder to get the banana, the other monkeys will immediately attack him. And when they do so, they don't get sprayed with cold water. So over a number of repetitions, they learn that if they can prevent any of them from ascending the ladder, they won't get sprayed with the cold water. Then the interesting part comes next. They took one monkey out and replaced him with a monkey who had never been sprayed with cold water. Naturally, he tried to climb up the ladder and get the banana, and the other monkeys attacked him. So he quickly learned, if you don't want to be attacked and bitten by other monkeys, don't go up the ladder. Then the next step is they replaced the second monkey. Same story. That monkey tried to go up, got attacked, and it learned, don't go up the ladder. Eventually, all five monkeys were replaced. None of these five had ever been sprayed with cold water, yet they were all imitating what they had seen their colleagues do by attacking any of them who tried to go up the ladder to get the banana. So they had now been conditioned to prevent somebody from going after the banana, even though none of them had experienced the original treatment of the cold water.
We did it because this is what we do.
This is a metaphor for culture. So many things within a culture are just accepted at face value without asking, why do we do this? Well, everybody does it, so we just do it without asking the vital question, why? So I use that as a metaphor to say this is what the government's been doing to us, this cancel culture, that if we substitute the word truth for the banana, anytime you and I, Paul, ask, well, what is the real truth behind the COVID pandemic? Or what is the real truth behind paying for everybody's college education? Or what is, pick a topic, ask the question, what is the real truth? Immediately, people in your neighborhood or friends and neighbors or colleagues where you work will turn on you and attack you verbally or otherwise to say, how dare you? The truth has already been published. The Biden administration or the usual suspects within the liberal elites have already told us the reason for this. Just sit down, shut up, and accept it, or else we will attack you.
Yeah, it's funny. In your article, you related this to the monkey sequence to the cancel culture sequence, which, again, to me was a great linkage. It kind of showed how if you can easily, we act like monkeys, right? If you punish us for asking questions or for doing things, we tend to shut up, and then we quickly turn around and start punishing others, even though we're not necessarily sure why we're doing this in the first place.
Exactly. And without asking for the facts, people will use comments like, well, you can't say that. Everybody knows that the virus was started by bats or something as opposed to the laboratories in China. Everybody knows this or that and the other. So my little sequence there of Dr. Fauci saying, wear a mask. And you and I say, well, why? And Fauci says, because the science and I say so. And you and I say, well, where is the scientific data to support this? And Fauci says, well, somebody please throw cold water on Mike and Paul to get them to shut up or get them fired from their jobs. And then all the other sheeple around us say, okay, that's what you say. That's what we'll do. We'll get them fired. We'll ostracize them. And of course, because we as human beings are very social creatures, we shrink from being attacked by those around us, verbally or otherwise. And so it's a learning process of learning, shut up and do as you're told. And of course, as I point out in the article, the government loves this because without having a Gestapo agent in every single home to enforce their edicts, they don't have to. A lot of us are subject to the family ostracism at Thanksgiving dinner or at Christmas dinner from relatives who buy into the opposite line and say, how dare you say that? And so to keep the peace, we learn to, okay, let it go, shut up, whatever. So, and I'm sure you've got your own examples of that, Paul.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's they're numerous because if you think about it, sure, we're talking here about masks, but the you see society as a whole, we are, like I said, we're social creatures. We want to conform. We want to be part of the group. There was a great experiment done several decades ago where they took a group of teenagers and they put them in a room and they asked them, I think it was true or false questions, and they were told to raise their hand for the, you know, for the right answer. I'm sorry, it was a multiple choice questions, and they were all told to raise their hand for the right answer. What they nobody knew is that there was only one student was actually being tested. All of the students were there, and they were told specifically, raise your hand for the wrong answer. And they watched to see how long before the test student simply went along because that's what everybody else did. We call it peer pressure. But it's this idea that you can apply pressure to somebody to get them to do what you want. And there are times when that's appropriate, right? If there's a business that has a policy that I disagree with, whether it be masks, whether it be vaccines, whether it be anything, I don't do business with them. And I will tell my friends and neighbors why I don't do business with them. But at what point does this turn into, like I said, the cancel culture, this idea that because some government agent or because some pseudo celebrity or somebody who plays make-believe on television tells us we should do this, this becomes, goes from simply, I refuse to support somebody I disagree with, to the intimidation of comply or else.
Yes, comply or else. And the peer pressure, we're all very sensitive to peer pressure. And one of the things I've noticed is that a number of people in my generation are actually coming around to a lot of this obvious nonsense because their children put pressure on them and say, well, I'm not going to come to Thanksgiving unless you back off of liking Donald Trump, or whether you're going to back off from your opinions about the COVID virus or whatever. And they're actually caving into their children. Why? Well, they want to see their grandchildren. So it's a very natural human thing to do, but we're being conditioned by that kind of peer pressure, even within a family, to go along with whatever the government says, even when it's obvious nonsense. And of course, the classic scene from the classic Orwell novel, 1984, is where the torturer holds up four fingers and is torturing the character Winston. He says, how many fingers, Winston? And he says, four. And then they apply pain to him. And then they keep doing it until he says what they tell him to say, which is five. Even though he's holding up four fingers, Winston learns to avoid the pain, say five. Yeah. So whether it's peer pressure or actual physical torture, we're all, as social beings, subject to this. And it takes the rare courage of the person who has the intellectual honesty or the force and faith of their convictions to stand up and say, no, it's four fingers. No, there are two genders. No, this virus wasn't a naturally occurring thing. There's no evidence for that.
You know, one of the things I keep saying, I keep reminding my audience, is it's actually, well, it does, it takes a lot of courage and fortitude for the person that will stand up and say no. But actually, what's more important is that everyone else, we support the protection of rights of others. You know, if I protect my own rights, I'm that one person standing against the storm. If I protect somebody else, if I come to the support of your rights, your protections, when you stand up and say no, that's an amazing, it has an amazing impact on the psyche to know I'm not alone. I'm not the only person standing here. It not only supports them to maintain their stand, but it encourages others to join in as well. This idea of standing athwart history and saying no can be a very powerful image and can be a very powerful influence if used correctly and not to the detriment of others.
Exactly. So taking a stand, you can be an influencer, you can inspire others to say, wait a minute, why am I going along with this nonsense? If Paul can do it, I can do it. I know one of the big turning points for me is many years ago, going to a Tea Party rally in the city and seeing there must have been 10,000 people there. And I thought, oh, I was just a minority of one. I'm the only one with these kind of opinions. And no, there were thousands of them. So once somebody is willing to put that stake in the sand and say, no, here I am, no further. I'm standing up for what I believe to be true. And even if, as you say, Paul, we don't all have to agree with one another exactly, but that's the notion of the free marketplace of ideas. We subject ideas to the standards of science. We test them out. We subject ideas to how well they work out and judge accordingly. And that's why, for example, in the long, long ago, there was a hot product known as the Pet Rock. Well, that's not around anymore. Nobody buys it anymore. It's not being advertised anymore. It fell out of a kind of a selection in the marketplace. People said, okay, that was a fad thing. It was fun while it lasted. Now let's move on. And if you use that image of the supermarket, where there are Latino foods, there are spicy foods, there are Asian foods, I don't have to like all of those things. They're there. I pick and choose the kind of foods that I like without imposing my will on others and saying, thou shalt not have Asian foods. Thou shalt not have Hispanic foods. No, let's have a multiplicity of foods and choices and let people pick what they will.
You know, I have to head off to a break, but I like this idea of how do we respond to this? Can you hang over after the break and we can discuss what's the proper response to cancel culture?
Yes.
Excellent. Well, as I said, I have to take a quick break, but all of my listeners, please, I'd love you to head to healthycell.com. Not only do they support America Out Loud and the Constitution Society, they have some really excellent products. For example, my wife has always had a problem falling asleep and staying asleep. She uses Healthy Cell's REM sleep to help her sleep. It works very well. It's the only supplement she's found that not only works routinely through all four stages of sleep. And as an America Out Loud listener, you get 20% off your first order if you use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. So go to healthycell.com, try any of their products. Just use that code HealthyCell at checkout. It lets them know you listen to America Out Loud, and they will give you a 20% discount on your first order.
Let's get real, let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio. And I'm Dr. Peter McCullough. I can tell you, one of the greatest pathophysiologic drivers for tiredness and fatigue during the day is poor quality sleep at night. People always focus on how long they slept, but they never think about the quality. And to improve the quality, there's a terrific product. That's the Healthy Cell REM Sleep Supplement. And what I tell friends and family and patients is take it every night consistently. It comes in a convenient bioabsorbable gel pack. Take it right before you go to bed. Take the gel pack, brush your teeth, go to bed. Its effects are nearly instantaneous, and patients get a well-rested sleep continuously, day after day, week after week, month after month. And then that daytime tiredness and fatigue melts away when there's a greater restful sleep the night before. So give it a try. Go to healthycell.com and in the promotional code, type in out loud for 20% off your order. Let's get real, let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep can be infuriating. Your mind races. You toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's digital age makes it even harder. You're not alone with this struggle. Poor sleep affects over 70% of Americans. Even the Centers for Disease Control labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. To take back your sleep, Healthy Cell has created REM Sleep, the only sleep supplement made to support all four stages of human sleep with calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support, delivered in a patent-pending, pill-free, ultra-absorption microgel formula that tastes great. Fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and wake up refreshed with Healthy Cell's REM Sleep. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order. That's healthycell.com, HEALTHYCELL, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Surely, if you can't find it here, you can't find it anywhere. We are the pulse and voice of everyday American thought. So you can listen in on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. If you joined the Constitution Study, I have Michael McCarthy with me today. We are having an interesting discussion about cancel culture and this question of the power of intimidation. And we spent the first segment kind of talking about what it is and the psychological and sociological issues that lead to it. But we started talking about what should our response be? How do we live as free citizens as society more and more tries to mold us into an image that we disagree with? So, Michael, what do we talk about? How should we respond to these, as you use the example of in the Five Monkeys, these cold showers when people just try to shut you down because they disagree with you?
Well, if we can find the intestinal fortitude to withstand the cold shower and say, wait a minute, Mr. Government Agent, you're spraying me with a cold shower or threatening me with restrictions and firing me from my job if I don't get the jab, and et cetera. But where is the data? Show me the evidence. You keep wanting to talk about science. Science is data-based. If you want to convince me with data, not with intimidation. And we've seen this over and over again. When one person takes a stand, whether it's Galileo saying, I've been doing some observations through my telescope and I'm not convinced anymore that the sun revolves around the earth. I think the earth might revolve around the sun. Well, immediately, somebody brave enough to go against the conventional wisdom, a number of other people pull out their telescopes. They check it out for themselves. So, and then the scientific consensus changes. But even when it's a consensus, it's always subject to further proof or revision as additional data come in. And so we've always got to be open-minded to if new facts come in, take those into account. But we must resist believing something just because somebody says so.
Yeah, you mentioned how many times do we ask the question, why? When I've taught classes, I always say, why is the most difficult question I will ask you, because so many times we simply adopt things because. But the other thing is, it's interesting because I agree, you know, it's show me the data, show me the basis for your decision, convince me of the rightness of your statement. Don't simply expect me to accept it because you say so. The only time because I say so is a valid response is a parent to a child. Beyond that, because I say so is not a valid response. But what's interesting is from my constitutional standpoint, it's one of the reasons why I follow this idea from John Jay that every member of the state ought diligently to read and study the Constitution of his country. Why? Because by knowing their rights, they'll quickly recognize when they are violated and be the better prepared to defend and assert them. And it's the same thing from the other side. Wait a second. Mr. Government Agent, you're telling me to do something that you don't have the legal authority to do. Here is the proof. We don't have that because, well, A, it's not taught in school, but I think we're often conditioned to simply submit to persons in position of authority.
Exactly. And that's why if you can stand up and say, no, I'm not sure I believe that, I call it making the I statement. You don't have to necessarily criticize other people, but you can say something like, I believe free market capitalism works best to create prosperity for the greatest number of people. Now, that's an I statement. That's my opinion. I'm not saying you should blindly agree with that or not, but you might challenge me and say, show me the data. And then it's the burden's on me to come up with the data, examples and statistics and what have you, to show you some other, some supporting data that free market capitalism is indeed a better way to organize an economy.
You talked about, you know, we refer to people often as sheep. They follow. I remember back when the COVID-19 was starting, I was doing a book fair in a neighboring county. And literally days before the fair started, that county implemented a mask mandate. And I'm in Middle Tennessee. We were certainly a lot more free than a lot of part of the country. What was interesting is this person, the coordinator came up to me and said, well, you know, they've put in a mask mandate. We should be okay. We're on private property, but we don't know what the what police officers might do. To me, looking back at it, it's a very sheeple response. You know, we're not sure what the rules are. We're going to have to wait till somebody in authority comes in and tries to deal with us. My response was, I don't care. This mask mandate is illegal. And then I produced a piece of paper with all the proof of why it's illegal. And while her look was somewhat dumbfounded, her response was quite accurate. It's like, if the police show up, we're sending them to your table. It's that person who is prepared, you know, who's taken the time to prepare themselves to know, to get as much data as they can. In my case, to know the Constitution and be prepared to say, well, wait a second. I know that's what everybody's saying, but how important is that preparation?
Exactly. And to be able to ask the questions. So I'm considered somewhat radical in that I say, I'm looking for candidates that will vote to eliminate the Department of Education. It was like, what? That's radical. That's, and my response is, show me where the Department of Education is mentioned in the Constitution of the United States. So it's back on them to do their homework and try to find where that's in there, as opposed to just somebody's interpretation. So doing your homework, researching something, whether it's the Constitution or some other branch of science, to find out for yourself. And the important question to ask is why, and keep asking that question until you're satisfied. And of course, that's what all successful scientists do. They take something and that everybody else just accepts on face value and ask the question, why? Why does it work that way? And then they begin to research it and yield insights that benefit the rest of us.
You know, it's funny. You say you're radical for saying that they should get rid of the Department of Education. You're going to love this. What if I told you the Department of Education does not legally exist? You see, there's this little thing called the 10th Amendment that says a power not delegated to the United States doesn't belong to the United States. And there's this little gentleman by the name of Alexander Hamilton and the Supreme Court in the court case Marbury versus Madison that said an act of Congress contrary to the Constitution is void. Therefore, the act of Congress that created the Department of Education back in the 1970s is void. Therefore, it doesn't legally exist. And we're all, you know, the Hans Christian Andersen, the emperor's new clothes, the emperor's walking around naked. No one knows to look at it and say, no, that it does not legally exist. It is a sham. So if you're radical, I don't know what you'd call me.
we're like-minded is what I would call us.
But the point was, in cases we're looking at, here is the support, here's the evidence, here's the proof of the statement. And that, I think, is too often what gets lost. You know, we listen to people sometimes because they, you know, society says so. But the part that I have a hard time, I mean, I see it, I know it happens, but it drives me nuts is why so many Americans pay so much attention to people who play make-believe for a living.
You know, yes, the actors and actresses, etc. As if they've got some mystical source of knowledge that the rest of us don't have.
You know, you and I are old enough to remember the commercial, I'm not a doctor, but I play one on TV. Yeah. Big deal. It doesn't mean you went to law school or to medical school. Why should I listen to you because you play make-believe for a living? Or you throw a ball really well, or you kick a ball really well. Why should that matter? How did we get to the point where celebrity trumps data?
Yes, and it's that human need to be liked. We all want for people to like us, even to the point of saying there are five fingers when I'm only seeing four, just to get you to like me. And I'm thinking, oh, well, if I agree with this celebrity, then maybe if I ever meet them, he or she might like me. Well, so what if they like you? I keep telling people, I may not like Donald Trump, but I, so he says some disagreeable things. So what? I hire a plumber because he has the skills to fix the leak in my faucet. I don't hire him because he talks pretty. And Donald Trump may not have talked pretty, but he got the job done in a number of cases. So that that issue of what are we looking for here? Somebody who looks good and smells good, such as the celebrities, or somebody who's got the actual skills to do a job, or as we keep reading recently, the policies. It's not what the Biden administration says. It's what are their actual policies? They can say anything they like. But what are they actually doing? It's the old magician's trick of waving the bright silk handkerchief above my head to get your eyes on it while I'm reaching around and picking your pocket behind your back. That's what these propagandists do. They come up with new shiny attention getters, the next shiny object to attract our attention, whether it's, oh, look, there's Ukraine. Oh, look, there's Roe v. Wade. Oh, look, there's this. So that we won't pay attention to what's actually going on.
Now, what do you think about this idea? You know, I think this is the logical outcome of decades of this idea that everybody must be affirmed. You know, you can't use red pen to mark grades because it makes kids feel bad. Everybody gets a trophy. You know, the hurting of people's feelings now is considered violence to the point where words are considered violence, not because they're threatening, just because they disagree with them. Is this a logical progression from decades of treating the American people like small children that can't, you know, they can't deal with the world around them?
Yes, and they took what started out as might have been a defensible idea of affirming people, but they left out the underlying principle was I affirm you, Paul, because you know more about the Constitution than I do, for example. You've been studying it much longer than I have. That's actual data, as opposed to, well, here's 3-year-old Molly, and I affirm her just because she's 3 years old and she can do no wrong. And then we extend that to where Molly becomes 40 years old, and no matter what she does, she can do no wrong. So it becomes divorced from reality. Or we affirm people who say 2 + 2 = 5, and we're denying reality. Now, the end result of that is deadly. It's deadly to our culture, it's deadly to science, and it's deadly to our health and well-being. They've introduced this notion of this critical race theory and the teaching of math, for example, to say 2 + 2 = 4, that was invented by dead white European mathematicians. So you don't have to believe that. Well, if we graduate a generation or two of what are now children and teenagers who believe that, and then they go in and become the aerospace engineer designing the next airplane, and they believe that 2 + 2 = 5, we're going to have planes falling from the sky. We'll have architects designing buildings that will collapse on themselves. We will have people who design water purification systems that deliver water to our faucets that turns out to be contaminated. And these are not just theoretical conceits. These have real life, real world consequences.
They
want to promote it just to make somebody feel good. Well, in the end, it's going to make somebody die.
Well, we can see that in the response of so many people to outcomes they don't want, where the response is to yell and scream and throw a temper tantrum like a 5-year-old, thinking that their emotional response validates, you know, they've been affirmed all their life. They get whatever they think is true. And when it doesn't work that way, their only response is to yell and kick and scream and, as I said, act like a 5-year-old.
Yeah, I mean, anybody who's been a parent has been familiar with the terrible twos, the toddlers who kick and scream and throw a tantrum. And actually, that was the metaphor I used in one of my earlier columns, Paul, about they're making they want us all to be 2-year-olds, and the liberal elites are acting like 2-year-olds and throwing these temper tantrums and saying, you're an evil person and I don't like you and blah, 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 because you don't agree with what I say. And then we give in to them. Now, as any parent can tell you, if you give in to a tantrum, what will happen next? More temper tantrums.
Exactly.
Why? Because it works. It gets them what they want. So this is why the left has gone more and more into violence and temper tantrums, because it gets them what they want. It's not rocket science. Anybody can understand that. You don't have to be a child psychologist. Anybody who's been a parent or been around a small child understands that principle.
Well, Michael, thank you. It's been a wonderful time sitting here talking with you. Before we go, can you let my audience know where they can find more about you and the writings and other work that you're doing?
Well, if you want to look at where I try to dramatize some of these concepts that you and I have been talking about, Paul, you want to look at my dystopian novels, starting with The Noah Option. It's on Amazon. And then that continues in a sequel novel called The Rainbow Option. And I hasten to point out that rainbow is not LGB alphabet. That comes from the Noah metaphor from the Bible. But after the flood, there was a rainbow.
Yep.
So that's why I entitled it The Rainbow Option. And then the third novel installment is called The Timshel Option. And Timshel is the Hebrew word for thou mayest. God said to Cain, thou mayest overcome sin, meaning free will. We're not condemned to always do bad things. We can make the free will choice to do the right thing. And of course, that's the underlying principle that you and I have been talking about here, is do you stand up to the crowd and do the right thing?
Well, Michael, thank you very much. I hope to have you on the program again. I want to let everybody know that I will have a link to the Five Monkeys article when this program goes to the show page, which you can find at AmericaOutLoud.com. And I want to remind you, all of these shows do go to podcasts, to the show page, generally a few days after they're heard on the radio. They are a great resource for you to follow up and to share. Let other people see, as we've been talking about, it's not the person that stands up alone that makes the difference. It's when people join them, support them, and show the community, show that they're not alone, that we truly make a difference. Michael, thank you so much for your time today.
You're welcome, Paul, and thank you for the good work that you do.
While many things we hear are lies, we know one thing is true. Viruses exist and people get sick. Look, there's no guaranteed way to keep from getting sick, but there is a way to reduce your chances. Cofix RX, the original povidone iodine-based antiviral nasal spray that you hear Dr. McCullough talking about, provides an additional, invisible layer of protection from colds, flu, coronaviruses, and more. Click the banner ad on AmericaOutLoud.com and use promo code OUTLOUD for 20% off. Stay protected with Cofix RX.
In today's world, there's no escaping the headlines filled with warnings about emerging viruses and dangerous superbugs. Genesis is the only technology that safely and effectively obliterates harmful pathogens both in the air and on surfaces. Genesis plus HOCL neutralize these threats to your environment in just seconds. Find out more about this amazing technology at genesisfogger.com/outloud for a 15% discount. With Genesis, you'll be prepared for what's next.
Well, welcome back, Everyday Americans. I hope you enjoyed that conversation I had with Michael McCarthy. I think we had an interesting discussion about where the world is and this idea of cancel culture and intimidation. So I want to take a look at some examples to put it in the context of Michael's article. People, you know, the monkeys getting hosed down with cold water. See, there was a Broadway star by the name of Patti LuPone. I think I'm pronouncing that correct. And she was doing a show. She is up on stage doing her show and decided to curse out an audience member. Why? Because they didn't comply. See, the audience member wasn't wearing a mask. So if I were to put this into the same analogy as Michael did, here you have more than five monkeys. You have a group of people, and one sees, hey, I can be free. I can remove this mask. I have made a logical, rational decision that my risk versus a reward, it doesn't make sense. They don't wear a mask. And here is this person, again, person who plays make-believe for a living. There's nothing wrong with playing make-believe for a living. I don't think that makes you a medical expert. And she went on a rant. She's yelling into the crowd, who do you think you are that you do not respect the people that you're sitting around? Now, it's interesting because I look at it and going, lady, if you thought masks work, then you wouldn't be worried about it because these people are wearing masks. Again, the logical disconnect, the emotional response. Here's a person exercising free will, living at liberty, in control of the property they have of their own body. And they are derided from stage. In other words, there she is hosing down this person. No, interesting. The person fired back. He said, I pay your salary. To which the Ms. LaPon replies, bull blank. The producer, Chris Harper, pays my salary. Where do you think Mr. Harper gets the money to pay your salary? She concluded, who do you think you are that you do not respect the people that are sitting around you? Who do you think you are that you do not respect me? I didn't berate people for wearing masks. I didn't question them. I should say this person didn't question them, didn't challenge them, let them live their lives as they saw fit. And I come back to it. It's the old Moneyball question. If someone's a good hitter, why don't they hit good? If masks work, how come they don't work? If you believe masks work, why don't you act like masks actually work? I had this discussion with a doctor a few months ago, and I was in their office. It's a private office. They eventually just said, put on a mask. I said, you realize this mask only prevents about 5%, is only about 5% effective. And they said, well, it's better than nothing. I said, you do understand how viruses work. By 5% effective, I mean that if I have this virus, that no matter what's in my body, 95% of what I'm exhaling is entering the room. Now, she was wearing a KN95 mask. If you believe that mask works, what do you care? You're not breathing it in. But it's this idea of we're going to bully, we're going to intimidate people into complying. Now, that was one person being sprayed down by one individual. That was until Whoopi Goldberg picked it up. See, she's decided that she's going to defend the berating of an audience member for doing this. Personally, I would have walked up and said, I want my money back. I would have walked right off the stage going, give me my money back. I'm leaving because you're being an idiot. But that's me. I don't expect everybody to do the same thing. But it's another example. It's taking this five monkeys analogy and putting it into real life. Or what about the Disinformation Governance Board? If you don't agree with what we say, we're going to label it disinformation and have you and ask people to remove it and shut you down. Now, there are plenty of examples of the federal government getting things wrong. Just recent history. But it's the same process. If we can punish you for not complying, then how many people are going to comply? How many people cheered when the airlines announced that you didn't have to wear a mask anymore? How many videos are there of airplanes and airports when the announcement was made, people cheered as they took off their mask because they were finally allowed to? wait a second, there was no law that prevented it. No legitimate law prevented you, required you to wear a mask. And I've got the data to prove it. First of all, this wasn't a law passed by Congress. It was a regulation passed by a bureaucrat. Therefore, it's not the law of the land. Therefore, it's not the supreme law. Second of all, it's unconstitutional because it violates the Fifth Amendment. It deprives you of both liberty and property without due process of law. You don't have the liberty to live as you want. You don't have control of the property you have in your body. And it was not done in a way that protected the rights of the individual. So, according to both Alexander Hamilton and the Supreme Court, those actions were void. They were meaningless. But we all complied because nobody wanted to get hosed down. Nobody wanted to deal with the punishment of not complying with an illegal, void law. We actually allowed people to commit federal crimes against us because, you know, we didn't want the consequences. This is what I was talking about being prepared. And it's why, you know, the disinformation board, and I intentionally waited to see what they were going to do. But here you have an example. The government's going to determine, they've chosen people who are spreading factually incorrect information as the head of this board. People who said that the Hunter Biden laptop was I believe still contends that the Hunter Biden laptop is Russian disinformation, all the evidence to the contrary. Someone that calls for the censoring of memes, humorous sayings, who want the police to regulate online speech. These are all punishments. This is that hosing down, the cold water. Why? Because there aren't enough people in government to enforce these laws, to enforce these draconian regulations, this nonsense. They need the public to be part of it. They need you to become the Stasi. In East Germany, and in fact, they had it in Russia. In East Germany, the Stasi were some of the most efficient secret police in the Eastern Bloc, because they got people to be snitches, to turn in family members, to help enforce the laws. That is what this government is trying to do. So when the Biden administration announces an Office of Environmental Justice, what they're saying is, listen, we're tired of people not doing what we want, and we're going to come up with ways of punishing them by creating a Department of Justice that's going to focus on their environmental myths. They're not going to prove to the American people that this should be done. No, they're simply going to dictate it and punish you if you do not comply. And there are long-term consequences. Take the example of First Lieutenant Mark Boshaw. And again, I hope I'm pronouncing your name right. He was convicted for showing up to his office without providing proof of a negative COVID test. He's an entomologist. He worked for the Army Public Health Center in Aberdeen, at the Aberdeen Proving Ground. And his quote-unquote crime was not submitting to an experimental test. I hate to tell you this, folks, those COVID-19 tests are issued under an emergency use authorization. They haven't been fully approved by the FDA. They have not been approved by the FDA. They're experimental. And for the crime, the quote-unquote crime of showing up to work without showing your papers that you've taken an experimental test, he was found guilty of disobeying the COVID-19 rules. Now, the judge refused to impose a punishment, didn't impose a punishment on him. But tell me that isn't a bunch of monkeys attacking him for saying, wait a second, I have rights. Yes, I'm in the military and I voluntarily suspended some of those rights, but I have rights. These rules are irrational. They're illegal, but he got attacked. Now, my question is, how many people rose to his defense? See, in the five monkey story, the interesting thing is the one monkey that's trying to get the banana is always alone. There's never a situation where somebody rises to the defense. What happens when you feel all alone? It dissuades others. How many others in the military know this is wrong? Know this is a violation of the Constitution? Know that it's a useless waste of time, that it violates medical ethics? But they're afraid to do something because they've seen First Lieutenant Bashaw punished for what he did, for living his life within the rules, within the Uniform Code of Military Justice. You see, the interesting thing about the UCMJ is officers and enlisted men are required to follow lawful orders. Well, if you can show that the COVID-19 orders are not lawful, he wasn't required to follow them. But how many people are going to stand up once they've seen that he was punished? Numbers coming out of the Navy, they have discharged 800, and at least as of the beginning of May, 884 personnel for refusal to participate in the COVID-19 gene therapy experiment. 696 active duty and 66 reserves have been separated, have been discharged because they wouldn't participate in a medical experiment, because they wouldn't submit to the coercion to participate in a medical experiment, because they refused to submit to the unethical treatment by both the military, the Navy, and the doctors who were administering these drugs. They're not vaccines, not legally. And for doing that, they've been discharged. Their military careers are over. They were hosed down. How many people are going to stand? Which brings me back to, what can we do? What should we do? The first thing we should do is recognize not everyone is going to have the intestinal fortitude to stand astride the river and say, no, I refuse to comply simply because everybody says so. But when we see them, we need to support them. You know, there's a story in the Bible when the Israelites came out of Egypt and they entered their first battle. Moses and his brother and one of the leaders went up on a cliff to watch the battle. And whenever Moses held the rod he'd received from God up, the Israelites won. When his arm got tired and he put it down, well, the Israelites would begin to lose. And the two men got on his sides and he held his hands up and they supported him. Now, whether you believe that story is true or not, it makes an important point. If you're standing alone, you get tired and it's hard to stand. But all it takes is a couple of people to stand beside you, to stand with you, to give you strength, to help you do the difficult work that needs to get done. We need to be those people. It is actually, I contend, more important that we rush to the defense of the rights of others for just that reason. By protecting their rights, we do more than simply protecting our rights. Now, before I go, there's a couple things I want to remind you of. The Constitution Study is hitting the road. Check out more at constitutionstudy.com/tour. I would love to come speak to your event. I'd love to come speak at your gathering or just to a group of people that want to hear a little bit about the Constitution. You can fill out the form at the bottom of the page and request that I come speak, and I'll get in touch with you. We'll see if we can make that happen. If you can support the work that we're doing, it takes a lot of money to set up these events. There's travel costs. There's expenses while you're there. Sometimes you're trying to set up venues and events. If you can support us, that would be wonderful. Again, you can find out more at constitutionstudy.com/tour. Also, please join us for our Constitution study. You know, I talked in the program about how the Constitution study came to be. Join us every other Monday at 7 p.m. Central Time for the Constitution study. We discuss it, debate it. There's a group of us on Zoom that do this. You can find out more at constitutionstudy.com/tour, and you can try it absolutely free. You get the first three sessions where we covered the Bill of Rights absolutely free. Again, that's constitutionstudy.com/tour. And of course, please share with others. The Constitution Study is on America Out Loud Radio 3 days or 5 days a week at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Please share that information. Join us. We're heard on America Out Loud Talk Radio on the iHeartRadio network. You can listen through our media player, through an app on Android, Alexa, or Apple. You can find all the links at AmericaOutLoud.com. Share that information with others. Help others see that there are others. They're not alone. There are people that will come alongside and support them and help them as they're willing to stand. And there may be people they're willing to go support, that they're willing to help stand. Because the future of our country is either going to be free people or a bunch of wet monkeys waiting for permission from their masters.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends.